each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick filling in for Father Anthony today, and it is such a privilege always to support the wonderful leader of this ministry on Winds of Change. But today it is a special privilege because I have the opportunity to bring you a guest that I know you're going to enjoy. Renee Marzan is an amazing witness of God, but you know first, whenever I'm filling in all by myself, either on the Loretta and Mary show or on for Father Anthony on whichever show, I remind all of us of some of our prayer intercessions of this show. Because I know our listeners, if you're listening to me, you're a prayer warrior. And the first prayer that we want to lift up is just an end to mailed abortifacients. We don't want those RU 280 drugs or 480 drugs. We don't want them in the U.S. mail, mailed to people where there's absolutely, you know, no follow-up. There's no indication if somebody were to miscarry or the drug didn't work right and they, you know, abort their baby in a toilet in their bathroom. So we want to end that. And I just heard of, there's people that are arguing with the Food and Drug Administration that there's a new one that's coming out that's manufactured, I want to say, in Ireland, and that is approved in 2 years' time to come out. So we want to just no more abortion drugs. We continue to pray for the protection and safekeeping of Cardinal Zen of Hong Kong. And our Monday listeners will know what a passion I have for this mighty man of God. Because he is standing up to direct evil in the communism of China that is attempting to control the Catholic Church. And every time you see Cardinal Zen, he is smiling. He has a heavy cross, I believe, for so many reasons, but most importantly, because he loves his Chinese and Hong Kong people. And he has been, there's a priest that wanted to go and visit him. And he went to Hong Kong but was unable to visit him because the cardinal was hospitalized with some intestinal issues. So we want to pray for his safekeeping. And finally, the other prayer that we have is for Bishop Rolando Alvarado from Nicaragua, Rolando Alvarez of Nicaragua, who is a critic of the Ortega government, who was imprisoned as he refused to leave the United States or Nicaragua for safety in the United States in Washington, D.C. And so we pray for his safety in the Modelo prison. And we also pray for the conversion of Daniel Ortega, the Sandinista leader who's been president of Nicaragua since 2007, and his wife, the vice president, Rosario Murillo. So we pray for the conversion of hearts for them, for the safekeeping of all of the catechists and bishops and priests and religious that are imprisoned in countries we can't get a handle on to reach them. But you, Jesus, you know who they are. So we decree and declare that you shall visit them in their cells this day in Jesus' name. And now, Now we are going to welcome a friend and a colleague, Renee Marazan. Renee, are you with us?
I am, Loretta.
Well, it is so wonderful to have you. And I want to share with our listeners that Renee and I serve on the board and council of Pentecost Today. But I met her years ago before COVID, and we just sat next to each other at dinner. And I had such an amazing conversation with her that I just knew that we were meant to be friends, and she lives out who she is. And I just want to share a little bit of your background, and if I leave anything out, you jump in and tell me what you'd really like us to look at. But you're a member of your parish down in Florida, right? And
yes.
St. Catherine Drexel Parish, and among your many gifts, you serve as the coordinator of the Charism, or the Spiritual Gifts Ministry, the Prayer Team Ministry. You're also the coordinator of an Alpha Core Team, and you're coach for South Florida Alpha USA. You have an extensive, honest to gosh, I was just impressed meeting you, but when I saw your resume, you have an extensive background in K-12 education. You are the author of over 10 publications. As I stated before, you're a council member for Pentecost Today USA. You give retreats, workshops, parish missions throughout the United States, Trinidad, and the Philippines. And you have an excellent publication called The Charisms of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about later in the show. But Renee, how did you get this amazing resume in education?
Oh, you know, it's a God story, Loretta.
We love God stories. When I'm hosting, this show is all about the glory of God. We love God stories.
Well, this really is a miracle story, because I should not even have been in early childhood education. I was a French and English teacher for 3 years in high school. But somehow the Lord pushed me into early childhood education when my children were little.
Mm-hmm.
And from that experience, I went back to get my master's degree, thinking I wanted to get it in early childhood education. But the head of the department said, oh, no, she can't do that. She doesn't have any prerequisites for this. So my mentor said, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it with you and for you. And my mentor actually required that I do all of my work in early childhood education, even though the degree would be in career and technology education.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes on sabbatical and puts me, as I graduate, she gives me all of her contracts with Head Start. And before I know it, I'm getting known in the area as a Head Start trainer.
Oh, my goodness.
It was kind of crazy, really. And then my neighbor said, Lourdes College, which is now a university, is looking for an instructor for parent education. And I gave her your name. Go meet with her. Before I knew it, to make a longer story much shorter, I became the chair of the department in a few years and designed a teacher education program for the university. And then I wrote my books on parenting, and the Air Force picked it up, so I traveled all through Air Force bases around the world, and then the teachers I was teaching said, you should make this into a Christian book. It's such a holy thing that you're teaching us about raising our children. So I said, oh, I don't want to do that. Yes, Lord, I will do it. So I did a Christian version, and then the Catholics said, where's the Catholic version? So then I did a Catholic version of this parenting book. But, you know, I argued with the Lord when I began to write this book. I had only 2 weeks to write it because a bunch of teachers in Ohio wanted me to present my philosophy of education, the whole child,
mm-hmm.
to them. And they said, so I did it. And they said, oh, no, we want a book. And I said, I don't write books. But, you know, I went into my basement and I said, Lord, these people think I'm going to write a book. What am I going to do? And I said, I didn't even know how do you start writing a book once upon a time? So as I prayed, the first sentence that came to me is, affective development is the soul life of the child. And I deleted it. Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the Lord say, put that back.
Mm.
I deleted it three times. And the second time I deleted it, I said, you know, Lord, this is not for public education. I can't put this in here. This is like for religion. I can't do it. But as the Lord caused me to obey because his word was so profound in my heart.
Mm.
Head Start and the Air Force were the first two government agencies to pick up this book worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make this happen, Loretta.
No,
only
you God can.
Can
only
do
God
it.
Can.
Only God can. And I can tell you what else you can't make happen. The fact that I chaired a Department of Early Childhood Education, I taught every course, I developed every course, I hired every teacher, but I myself had never taken a course in early childhood education.
Oh, how funny.
You
Glory
can't.
To God.
Glory to God, only to him. That's how I know every day when I wake up that God is the author of my credentials and my life.
Isn't that a beautiful way to think about who you are, that God is the author of your credentials and your life?
Yeah.
That is an amazing, amazing motto to live your life out through. Well, I'm really interested in the Parents' Handbook of Child Development. Is that the one that you have for the teachers and Catholic teachers and Catholic schools? Is that that book?
It's for Catholic teachers and Catholic parents. And it's focused on six areas of their human development with a Catholic emphasis and scripture passages with ideas that help parents to raise up their children for the kingdom. And it actually takes specific ways they can do that. For example, let's take one aspect that parents want to see developed in their children, and that might be truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
In the Christian context, there are references to truthfulness and activities and ways to bring your child into God's desire for our children to grow up truthful. So the whole book just is a book of activities and ideas. It's like a recipe book for raising your children. It's not a book that you read, per se. It's a book that you reference. So if you see a trait in your child that you want to nurture
mm-hmm.
and grow more, you can look it up. There are 96 traits of our children's development in this book. And when you look it up, it says, what is it? When does Christ himself express this characteristic of his development? Why is it important? How would a child exhibit it? And what could you as a parent do to support it? And that's when you get the 15 to 20 to 25 ideas of how to support it.
Now, would this book also be good for, say, catechists who aren't, you know, usually child teachers? Some of them are teachers, of course, but and they have that charism, obviously. But they aren't teachers by training. Would this book be also good for, say, catechists who don't have any kind of teaching background?
You're right on. It's perfect for catechists. In fact, when I was training my teachers, before I let them take any course in curriculum like math or mm-hmm. language arts or social studies, they had to take an entire course on affective development, social development, language development, creative development. And physical development. And so that needs to be the foundation for a catechist. They have to know children, who they are, how they grow, and what their characteristics are, and how to support that. This would be a perfect tool for catechists.
I'm ordering one today.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to say to you and to your listeners, if you order one, I will give you a 10% discount. I'm excited to get this work out to the people.
Praise God. You heard that, listeners. If you want to get the Parents' Handbook of Child Development, I will give you Renee's website at the toward the end of the show, but we can give it to you now. What's that website?
It's just marazon.com, marazon.com.
You heard that, listeners, and when you fill out your order, you tell them you heard Renee on the show today, and you'll get a 10% discount. Well, thank you, Renee. That's lovely and generous. Now, we talked in the opening of the show about the book that we want to discuss today. And so When we come back from our very first break, we're going to launch into Charisms of the Holy Spirit, Tools for the New Evangelization, with our guest, Renee Marizan. This is Loretta Frelick filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM. WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick. We're talking to Renee Marizan. And, you know, Renee, before we launch into your charisms of the Holy Spirit, I was just struck by your resume. And I'm not kidding, listeners. Go to the website. Take a look at it. For a woman, if God's going to write a resume, this girl got it from him. This is just beautiful. But one of the things I'm so impressed with is you served as a consultant to Family Communications, which is Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
That's another God story.
Oh, good, tell it.
The University of Toledo came to me and asked if I would serve on a research project with public television in Toledo. It was related to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So I worked with another professor, and we together designed this research project to allow children in early childhood settings to view Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to see if it would change their behavior, have an effect on, a calming effect on their behavior in the group setting. And so our research was very, very positive, and it was written up in a journal magazine. And Mr. Rogers called me and said, I want you to come and do a workshop for my staff on your philosophy of education. So I went to Pittsburgh, and I did this workshop that I was just telling your listeners about.
Sure.
For his staff. And the next thing I knew, he called, and he said, I'm coming into Toledo to do a parent event, and I want you on the stage with me.
Holy moly!
I was like, what? And the reason was that he's a shy as you see him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not want to field any questions. He wanted me to take the questions from his audience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. Well, I think we all love Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
There was that,
yeah,
that wonderful movie, I think, was Tom Hanks' Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
And so when I saw Fred Rogers on your resume, I was like, whoa, the real Mr. Rogers. So, God incident.
Another God incident, really, Loretta. That shouldn't, you know, this stuff, when it happens in your life and you realize that you did not lift a finger, you need to let your arms point to your Father in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit that is moving in your life.
Amen. You know, a lot of the listeners, I'm usually on the Monday show with my partner, Mary, and radio partner, Mary. You know, that's how this happened for me, this radio opportunity. You know, the Lord had told me in a dream that I want you to pack your boxes. I got another job for you. That's exactly what he said to me. And I was serving as a Cook County prosecutor. I loved my coworkers. I loved my job. I loved what the mission of what we did, which is to do justice. And it was really hard. I went kicking and screaming, retiring. And as it turned out, it was the right opportunity because it was still back in the COVID days, and you got seated in your seat. Mm-hmm. At church. And so the usher brought my dear friend Mary and her husband and seated them next to me. And before Mass started, Mary leaned over and whispered, "Is the rumor true that you're retiring?" And I said, "Yep, it is." And she said, How'd you like a radio show? Yeah. So here I am. And ever since 2020, I have been living the dream, and it is God ordained. So I understand what you're saying when it is a God incident that only God could do.
Absolutely.
So, and the more opportunities I have to continue along this path, the more amazing the story becomes again. And he was there before in my prosecutor days, and now he's here just running a great game. So let's talk about the charisms of the Holy Spirit. Can you just briefly tell our listeners, what are those charisms of the Holy Spirit? And they're not just found in one place in the Bible, are they?
No, they absolutely are not. In fact, they're in five scripture passages, five books of the New Testament.
Yes.
Found, and kind of permeating the Acts of the Apostles. And
yes.
So, you know, the interesting thing is that St. Paul, in the early church, in the early days, he saw people, ordinary people like you and me, engaging in these activities such as they were greeting, they were personable, they were good with administering, they were laying on hands and healing, some were teaching, some were preaching. Some had gifts of prophecy, or they were evangelizing, or they were giving exhortations when they were gathered in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to call all these things already, so he called them grace things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word charism. The Greek word for grace things is charisms, and the plural is charismata. So that's where the charismatic renewal, the language, comes from. So these charisms, I talk about 20 of them and offer them for individuals to discern what charisms belong to them, what charisms have they been given. We read in St. Paul, chapter 12, to each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for some benefit. And then Paul goes on, and we all know that reading, to some mm-hmm. as teachers and all kinds of gifts. And the interesting thing is that most people sitting in the pews do not understand that they have these charisms. Every single person has at least one charism, often three, four, and five charisms. And I love Pope Francis says, you and I can't even know people's charisms, the person sitting next to us, unless we're in community and we have the language to recognize them.
Right.
So you can't recognize the gift of helps and service. When the Knights of Columbus are setting up chairs and they're praying over every chair they set up, you just think they're setting up chairs.
Right.
But that's actually a holy spiritual gift that they're engaged in. And I've had the knights in one of my workshops say, every chair that I set up, I pray for the person who will sit in it. Now, you and I wouldn't think to pray a prayer when we set up a chair, except if it's our charism.
Right.
And so, you know, that's... I could go through the list of 20 charisms, but I'll let you ask me some questions
sure.
about them.
Well, you know, Renee, what I find so interesting is that you bring this up. And we were hosting an event at my parish, and the music was so bad. And it was this group that we really thought had had some potential. It was young, a young group. We wanted to encourage them. So we gave them the opportunity to lead the worship. Renee, they were so bad, I don't think one of them was playing the same key and chord at the same time. It was, and our guest, I don't know if you're familiar with Maria Vadilla, our guest was Maria Vadilla, who's absolutely fabulous. She comes out and tells me, Loretta, I cannot minister in this. I'm like, I get it, Maria, I get it. So we plugged along, we got things going, we, you know, just called on the Holy Spirit. But the next day, we went into the hall that we were hosting this event. We put on a revival worship tape, and that's exactly what we did. We prayed over every chair. We called on the Holy Spirit to bless that person in that place. And I kid you not when I tell you one of the signs and wonders that manifested was the oil from heaven. There was droplets of oil all over the place. And the Lord moved in a mighty way. But when you say that you have these charisms, and one of them is praying over chairs, we see the benefit of praying over chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to look at all of our gifts. And, you know, one of the things that I find so interesting is when you're moving in your gifting, it's so easy. But when you want the other gifting that someone else has and you're trying to move in that, it's really striving. Can you talk about that for our listeners?
Sure. So, I mean, you just summarized it so beautifully. When you are operating in your charism, you're actually energized. You're actually, you're passionate about it. And it shows, it comes through. And the other thing is that other people are blessed when you operate in your charism. So if you, for example, if the Lord gives you a word, you have a sense that you're supposed to say something to someone. And he did this to me one time early on in my walk. And I didn't give the word.
Mm.
And later I found out that the word was true and I should have given it.
Yes.
And I repented. And the Lord said, I will never force you to operate in the gifts I've given you. But when you do, you receive a blessing. And when you don't, you miss the blessing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, example, if your charism is craftsmanship and you love working with your hands and or painting or decorating or doing lawn work or whatever that craftsmanship is, repairing things, you can do that for the glory of God. And if you do it for the glory of God, it's a charism. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. People say to me, when I am painting, I can feel God's presence. That's a charism.
Amen.
You can do housekeeping and have it be helps and service and anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because you invite God into it. Every time we say, come, Holy Spirit, every time we invite God into whatever we are doing, believe me, the Spirit will fall on you. So back to this idea of charisms. What happens when you operate in your charism?
You know, you're so right when you say that, because we recently had a child's retreat for first communicants for the second grade. And we had somebody decorate the tables. Now, this is just the table where the kids are going to go get some snacks when they get a little, you know, little antsy and they needed a little sugar break or something with an orange. This is just the tables. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so beautiful. It was so inviting. It was so artistic. And one of our moms stood in front of the table and just looked at it and said, I don't have this gift.
There you go.
And so, you know, and so that woman's actions, just the extra effort she took to make it, you know, beautiful, it's a gift. And
absolutely,
it's a gift that God gave her, and she used it for God's glory, for the kids. But then, you know, it was so you know, like when the person, you know, the other mom was complimenting her, it was just so funny. She just was like dumbstruck. And that's really how our gifts are. Now, there are other gifts that we associate a little bit more with the charismatic renewal, prophecy.
Healing, prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Word of knowledge.
Can you talk a little bit about how you find those out, that those are your gifts?
Well, you know, Loretta, no one can really find out what their gifts are unless they're seeking an understanding, unless they have information mm-hmm. about the gift.
Right.
And I'm a proponent of discernment of your gifts. There are all kinds of inventories. You can take them online. I've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a Catholic inventory, but here's the thing.
Yes.
We have people sitting in our pews who are so gifted, so filled with these charisms. And St. Paul says they are for the benefit of the church.
Amen.
But we don't know who these people are, and we don't know what these gifts are. And even Pope Francis says they have to be articulated. We have to be able to know what they are and label them and help other people to see what they are. If we are in a community, we can begin to say, thank you for praying with me. You have the gift of healing. Thank you for serving, opening the door every Sunday at church. You have the charism of hospitality. You always do it with a smile, and you look like you're waiting for me to come through the door.
Right.
That's a charism. You need to say, thank you for the compassion that you have for the people who come to our food pantry. Did you know that is a charism of the Holy Spirit? Thank you for your music that draws me to worship God. That is a charism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading this Bible study that draws me into the scriptures and helps me to feel like I'm right there with Jesus. That's a charism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that prophetic word. Thank you for that message that you gave me. You didn't even realize. I felt God was speaking to me through you. That is the gift of prophecy. That's word of knowledge. And I want to thank you for using that gift, for operating in it. Thank you. And we can go on
yes,
every gift.
Yes.
You know, you get the idea, but we have to, as a community of believers, we have to celebrate these charisms. We have to know what they are and see them in our brothers and sisters. And I always say to people, don't you want to know what charisms the person next to you in the pew on Sunday? Don't you want to know what their charism is? I do.
I sure do. And when we come back from our next break, we're really going to learn about the tools for the new evangelization in your book and how it can be used to impact others by drawing their gifting out. I'm Loretta Frelich, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change with our guest, Renee Marizan.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Listeners to Catholic radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelich with Renee Marizan, and we are talking about her book, Charisms of the Holy Spirit, Tools for the New Evangelization. And you know, Renee, we just heard remarks from Al Cresta, who also is on the radio and also has his own radio show, and he talked about how important Catholic radio is for learning the teachings of the Catholic Church. And this book that you've put together, The Charisms of the Holy Spirit, it carries an imprimatur. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And tell our listeners what an imprimatur is.
Well, an imprimatur, and actually it's two things, an imprimatur and nihil abstract. It's now the church just combined that into one word called a rescript. So the imprimatur really is the church's permission to print the book. Okay, so the church says, you know, we give you permission to publish this. That's the imprimatur. But the nihil abstract is a certification by the church that the book has been examined and found to contain nothing opposed to faith and morals. So together, these two are now called a rescript.
Well, it's pretty important then when you're reading this book to know that this has been submitted to the authority of the church. They find no error. So what you are reading in here is the church's teaching.
Yes, and I lay the foundation, Loretta.
Yes.
For spiritual gifts. For me, it's not about the gifts. It's about the giver. And so I set the scene in the first part of the book on Jesus Christ and the gift that he is given us through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who pours out these gifts among the laity. And there's one of my most favorite passages is from the Catechism, number 910, and it says, the laity can feel called or even be called to cooperate with their pastors in the service of their parish. I paraphrased it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done through the exercise of different kinds of ministries. Now, pay attention to this.
Yes.
According to grace and charisms. That's right in the Catechism.
Praise God.
Now, we have ministries that are operating in grace, but most don't understand that there are also charisms at work in those ministries, or should be. So, for example, when I need a catechist, the way to get a catechist for my parish is not to stand at the ambo and say, oh, we need a teacher for grades 4 and 5. No, we need to go and find out who are the people in our pews who have the charism of teaching. And these are the people that we invite into formation. And it's not just teaching for catechists. It can be teaching. It can be wisdom and knowledge. It can be prophetic gifts. There are certain gifts that belong to the ministry of teaching, a teaching catechist. And so we bring those, we look for those people with those gifts. But most of the time, we're not working out of charisms, Loretta.
No.
We're just picking people here and there. And you made a perfect example of the music. You know, the music charism, these are the people who lead us in praise and worship and draw us closer to God. If the people who are leading music do not have a discerned gift charism of music, they shouldn't be leading music.
Amen.
Amen. I know.
Amen. Amen. Well, what I find so interesting also in your book is there's just so many references to the catechism. And that is something, you know, one of the things that I'm always saying is as a lawyer, in order to keep my license, I have to do 30 hours of continuing legal education. And until you're up against the wire of the deadline, it doesn't seem like a lot. But 30 hours of some sort of Catholic or some sort of continuing education to keep mm-hmm. my law license. Now, mm-hmm. other professions have the same requirements. But as Catholics, even though we're in all these professions that require us to stay knowledgeable on certain areas, here, as Catholics, sometimes we treat eighth grade, we're graduated from Catholic education, or high school, we're graduated from Catholic education. Mm-hmm. You get to college and you may only take 2 religious credits. So I really think the importance of our lives needs to be constantly renewing our knowledge, renewing our spiritual life, and it's something that it should be going beyond the Mass. And this is such an important book, just in how you identify the charisms and how you help people discern them. How would you suggest adults try to discern their charism?
Well, I mean, there are several ways that you could do this. I mean, you can find books that contain a charism discernment tool. It's mm-hmm. a tool that you use. My book has a tool in it
yes.
that you respond to these questions, and when you're finished, you score yourself, and then you see the ones that scored the highest, and you begin to look at those and study them, and there's an opportunity to study each one in the book. But, you know, I have fooled around with inventories on the website. Mm-hmm. If you go out, you can find the Protestants have them, the Lutherans have them, the Baptists have them. The only problem is if you want to get your results, Loretta.
Yes.
Then you have to give them your name and phone number, which I won't do.
No, I'm not doing it anymore either. What the Protestants don't know about me is I'm coming for all those Catholics that aren't practicing in their group. So.
Yeah, I hear you.
But your book, it has excellent tools in directing people how to discern their charisms.
You know, Loretta, and do you mind if I tell you another story?
No, I love stories.
I want to tell you about our youth, okay, mm-hmm. because I also have an inventory for youth, middle school, high school. By the way, I call confirmation the sacrament of exit from the church. And we don't want our kids to exit. We want them to celebrate their charisms. So
yes.
we do it with our confirmation students. And when we have prayer teams and we need prayers, we ask our young adults to be on the prayer teams. But this is, someone will say, well, you know, the kids are too young. They don't have charisms. No, this is not true. They do.
Yes,
when you're
do.
Baptized, you are infilled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're confirmed, you're refilled again with the Holy Spirit with special gifts. So I go and I'm giving a mission in a parish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a charismatic parish. And I just did a kind of a real quick, whenever you're in a group, blah, 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 stand up if this is you, stand up if this is you. These young adults in late teens started standing up for prophecy, word of knowledge, healing. I was like, holy cow, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you showing me here? These young people in our church have these extraordinary, the church calls these the extraordinary charisms. When I was finished with that session, they ran up to me and they said, you are the first person ever who told us that we had these gifts. We knew we had them. Thank you for telling us. This is important, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We are cheating our young people by not helping them to celebrate their charisms, learn about them, and operate in them, and call them forth.
You know, oh, Renee, you are so right. Because, you know, so often I become so frustrated with the church. They want to have, like, the token young person on their committee to show they're inclusive. Rather than do that, we need to identify them, what for them, with
mm-hmm.
them, their
yeah.
charisms, and invite them to bring their gifting to the table. I'm not picking you because you're a young person. Picking you because your gift is what we need in this particular ministry or situation. And until we get that figured out, we are just doing our church and ourselves a disservice.
Yes. And I'll tell you another quick story and something
Please.
I write up in the book. Every charism that I have written up about, it says, you know, what is it? When does Christ express it? Why is it important? Da, 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 other things. And it says, evangelization team notes. You know, it used to be the diocese would say, okay, this is the year of evangelization. What was it? 2008, I think, 2010,
mm-hmm.
the year of evangelization.
Right.
Everybody come to the diocese. We're going to do a training so that you can all go door to door and bring people into the church. Wrong. And I saw that, and I was like, that's not how you bring people into the church. they gave us these tracts that we were supposed to go knock on a door and read the tracts.
You gotta love it.
I know.
And but they're trying.
I know. Well, I had evangelization team notes. This is pastoring. If you have the charisma of pastoring, when you go on a home visit or you want to evangelize someone, use your gift of active listening, mm-hmm. share information about the parish, and then share one scripture passage that you can leave with them.
Praise God.
That's
God.
Pastoring, Loretta. That's evangelization.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, I think you bring a new dimension to working with the young that I worry the church has not looked at yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a conversation off air because I really want to bring this to our young people in the confirmation program, because these young kids that I have had the privilege of serving as their catechist, they are amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just am so excited for their future because they are so gifted. And I wonder, do you know what a blessing you are? And this sounds like your charism inventory, listeners, sounds like it's a great idea to incorporate in your parish, in your youth ministry, in your gifting with your teachers, in your Catholic schools. This is an excellent opportunity to expand your knowledge and love of the Lord and share it with your brothers and sisters. And when we come back from our break, we're going to listen more as to how we can do this in our parishes. And Renee is going to say a special prayer just to get us all involved. This is Loretta Frelick, and I'm filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, listeners. And as you last heard, the monstrance is available for adoration. It is always my first stop on my way into the studio. And I can tell you that it is a blessing beyond measure. And the peace of St. Stanislaus Koska Church is something that just stays with you as you flow into your day. So I really encourage listeners, if you haven't had the opportunity to visit the church and worship before the monstrance, that you take, put that on your summer bucket list. Sometimes we seem to have a little more freedom. We can get around, and because there's no snow or rain. Well, in Chicago, there's been a lot of rain and a few tornadoes, but you got a little more time. So, Renee, what would you say is the most important part of your book, Charisms of the Holy Spirit? What should we take away from this?
I know I got mine,
but I want to hear what you say first, and then I'll tell you my story.
Okay.
That you've already heard.
Thank you. I think the most important takeaway is that we have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit for two purposes, for personal holiness and for mission. And for mission, we cannot do our mission fully if we are not fully aware of how God wants to use us. And he wants to use us in our charisms. He doesn't want to use you, Loretta, in my charism, nor me in yours.
Amen.
So for me, it's coming to know your charism and developing it, practicing it, sharing it with others, and getting together with others who have similar charisms to allow yourself to be energized in your mission work, to bring Christ to the world, to bring the world to Christ. That's what the charisms are all about. That's what my work is all about. It's helping people identify their charisms for themselves and for the church, the community in which they worship, so that they are ready to serve in their charisms and let people know, this is my charism, and never, never be ashamed, because it's not yours.
No.
It's a gift. So if you have the charism of prophecy, it's okay to say, I have the charism of prophecy. It's not okay to say, oh, when I use my gift, it's God's word, and that's why you have to hear it and obey it. No.
Amen.
We can sin in all of our charisms as well. I think what I love most is that each charism is detailed, and I want to give it the credit that it needs. When does Christ express this? So how can I learn from Jesus? Why is it important? How would another person operate in it? Who are the saints who have operated in it? What are the scripture passages that support it? What would I do if I was evangelizing, proclaiming the kerygma, the gospel? And then any other questions I might have, I usually tell a story of someone I met in doing these retreats and missions and what they had, what their charism was. And one 75-year-old man came up to me in tears, and he said, I have prayed with people, and they've been healed.
Glory.
And he had tears in his eyes, Loretta. He said,
yes.
I never told anyone because I didn't want people to think I was crazy. This was in a regular parish, Loretta. This was not in the renewal.
No.
Not in the renewal. Regular parish. Yeah.
I get it. Well, you know, listeners, I just had the opportunity on Pentecost today. Our board and council were led in a beautiful, beautiful retreat on Zoom. So if the Holy Spirit can move on Zoom, too, on Zoom. And Renee took us through the understanding of our gifts and the scoring of the different charisms and how they flow, and we had to take a test or a survey, your better word, survey. And we took this survey, and I took the survey, and I was kind of surprised because I really thought I would score high on administration, because for the last 40 years in the Archdiocese of Chicago, I have been working on conferences. And, you know, I could pretty much do it in my sleep. I have flowed in it and really thought, well, this is the gift that I'm going to be the highest in. I get to the scoring of the survey, and the gift that I'm the highest in is prophecy. And I was really surprised. But then I looked at my own life, and I'm involved with Encounter Ministries, as our listeners know, and we're having the Chicago campus is having their summer intensive this July 31st, August 1st through 3rd, and we do an overview of what the first year of the school is like for 4 days. And I was assigned by our team to do the talk on the prophetic. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And so now I'm looking at my life. I'm looking at some of the people that I've prayed with, too, like this man says. And sometimes the prayer that I'll pray for somebody, it'll just change. And I'm recognizing that that's coming from God. It's not coming from me. And, you know, that they have been blessed, and they will tell me that. So your gifts can change. And this, or maybe not change, but you can develop others, like I think I have, but I was so surprised. And that's the beauty of it, because now I'm looking at it in a different way, and studying it and praying into it how to serve God better with it. And I really think that this book is your charisms of the Holy Spirit, tools for the new evangelization. It's a game changer. If you are breathing and you're Catholic, this is, well, even if you're not, this is for you, but it is a game changer. Everybody in the church should get one of these at birth. So, and I know everybody on our team, our board and our council, they were so blessed and the feedback was so positive. And you did such an amazing job in, you know, I know you felt that you really should have had like 3 hours and you consolidated it down to two. And it really was, it was a wonderful way to spend a Saturday morning.
It truly was a blessing, Loretta, and I was truly blessed too. You know, again, when you're operating in your charism, and you can see that for yourself, mm-hmm. you're energized and you're blessed. You grow from expressing your charism. So just want to encourage your listeners to find out what their charisms are and operate in them intentionally. In other words, be aware of the anointing that's on you.
Yes.
And just use this. Be aware.
Amen.
Yeah.
And Renee, can you lead our listeners or pray over our listeners over the air that they would learn they would have the opportunity and they would learn what giftings of the Holy Spirit they're being called to and they're being gifted with for the blessing of the church?
Loretta, I will do that. And you know what else I'll do? I'm going to read a list of the charisms and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to quicken in them when I read a gift, to just quicken in them, give them Jesus bumps or let their heart race a little when they hear the word that I'm going to say.
Okay.
And that if that happens, that they should then ask God to show them more about that charism, okay?
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so grateful, so thankful for you, and I'm going to speak these words and ask you to speak them into the hearts of your listeners. Administration, craftsmanship, discernment of spirits, encouragement and exhortation, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, helps and service, hospitality, intercession and prayer, knowledge and wisdom, leadership, mercy giving and compassion, music, pastoring, prophecy and word of knowledge, teaching, simple living and poverty, and writing. And Lord Jesus, St. Paul writes, I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking, dear brothers and sisters, in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you. May you find your comfort in his Holy Spirit always anointing you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Renee, your website tells us that you are passionate about supporting the journey of Catholics to live more deeply in the Spirit. And you have done that for us today, and we are blessed and grateful to God for the way you share your gifts. So I really want to thank you. It's been a wonderful hour, and it's gone by too fast, because now, look, it's over.
And I know, I can't believe it.
But I want to encourage all of our listeners, go to Marazon, MARAZON.com, and there you'll see more about Renee, and you'll be able to get the Charisms of the Holy Spirit, Tools for the New Evangelization, Spiritual Gifts for Disciples on a Mission. And you'll also be able to see the other opportunities. You can bring Renee in, or she can Zoom a meeting and a training, or you can just get the books and read them. God bless you, listeners. Thank you for being with us today. I'll be back with Mary on Monday. God bless you.
Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.